Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Random Chatter Reviews. This is our show, first show back in a while actually. We've been off for a couple weeks. Super Bowl happened and, you know, life got in the way, but we are back. And the good news is there is tons of new stuff to cover. I think we've all seen our fair share of new things on different streaming platforms and so forth.
We had to cut stuff out of the list.
Today. Yeah, we do that sometimes. Not very often, but we do that sometimes.
We've even, by the way, we've even had some news.
What?
Some legitimate news. Now, we're not going to cover it in this episode, but so for those who have been wondering, we will be bringing news coverage back here pretty shortly.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it because we have some really good stuff here. First up, we don't cover a lot of these lately, but network shows. There's a new network show that Tim's been watching called Endgame. This is on NBC.
I didn't know they still had those.
I know. What's the network?
What's the network show? Yeah, ABC?
NBC.
NBC.
Yep. Okay.
So this is Endgame. Now, I have not seen it myself, Tim. You have. I get the feeling from the trailers it's kind of a lot like Blacklist.
Yeah, there is kind of a Blacklist vibe to this. So this is Marina Baccarin's new project. They just did the first episode of the pilot last week. We were thoroughly impressed with it. Really, really great. Very, very compelling story. What can you tell us about it?
Because the little teaser was like kind of artistically, stylistically done, and it looked silly. The teaser looked silly. I'm not saying the show did.
Okay.
So tell us about the show.
Yeah, so it doesn't spoil anything because they really established the premise pretty solidly within the first few minutes of the episode. Basically, she is a international arms dealer. She's kind of like sits behind terrorist and criminal organizations, and it, you know, basically unrolls that she is kind of the mastermind behind them. You know, you've got your kingpin, but then you've got someone behind them who's actually, you know, controlling things. She gets captured. And that's basically how the episode starts, is that she's brought into the U.S. And into this into a secret site. And there's like the director of the FBI there and Secretary of Homeland Security and somebody else. And they're like, hey, so we got you. You know, big time criminal mastermind. We got you. So you have to give us everything now because you know, you're under arrest. And she's like, yeah, no. You think just because I'm in here doesn't mean I don't control anything. I do. And it then goes to outside of this situation and all sorts of things that she had set in motion that are happening that she orchestrated. And it's amazing. And she knows like everything on everybody, you know, new person walks into the room and she's like, yeah, so how's your marriage to, you know, Bill? And, I hear things aren't too, you know, going too well. And, you know, how are your two kids? And she'll name the two kids. Like, she knows everything about everyone who walks into the room. It's like mind blowing.
Interesting.
So really great. It's a great role for her. Looking forward to where the series takes us.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all like her. I mean, she's been in some great roles we've seen over the years, and you know, for one, I'm glad to see her back in a show again. But
yeah,
and I haven't seen it, and I want to because what I've seen online looked pretty good for it. But it does. The more you even describe that, the more it feels just like The Blacklist. Because I mean, the main character in that show is kind of the same thing. He's captured. He knows everything. They have, you know, that show morphed into something else over the years. But you know, he still had all kinds of contacts and did stuff and run stuff and it seems all powerful. Is this? Have you seen Blacklist? Have you watched that?
Have I? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The first few seasons.
So what, how does this compare and contrast to that? Is it different? Is it different enough? Is it the same?
It's different. You get a similar vibe to it. But it's definitely the storyline itself is very different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll probably give it a shot because you know, I like her and spy type stuff seems fun. So yeah, I'll probably watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
Okay. Next up, a show I know I've watched. I don't know if either of you have watched this yet, but we'll be covering this on Media Chatter pretty soon, the replacement show for Movie Chatter, if you haven't been keeping up with the network. But this is Inventing Anna on Netflix.
I'm about halfway through it.
Okay.
And I have not seen it at all.
Not started. Okay. So this is the show based on the true story of Anna Sorokin, who is a fake German heiress, I guess is the best way to describe it. The first episode
might be German, might be Russian.
Yeah. Well, she was posing as a fake German heiress, or a real German heiress, but fake. The first episode, I think, was tough to get through. But after that, the show picks up speed and picks up the intrigue, and I was fully invested after that. I heard it was really good, so I gave it the second episode to kind of see what was going on. Because the first episode, you're like, okay, you're telling the story, but I mean, Anna wasn't even really in that episode very much at all. It was kind of setting everything up. But I've been really enjoying this. I finished it now. It's full of intrigue. It intrigues me more because it's based on a true story, and you can find the articles online and read what was really going on and stuff. And every episode starts with the disclaimer where it's, you know, either on a billboard in the opening shot or like, you know, chiseled into a wall. It looks like it's part of the scene, but it says, you know, everything you're about to see is completely true except for the stuff we made up. So that's like, okay, well, is it real or not? But I've been really enjoying it. Eric, you're halfway through. What are your feelings on it so far?
So I'm about halfway through. I'm have to sit down and do the actual math. I'm going to say the first two episodes are a bit of a slow burn. The pilot episode, you're right, it's a slow burn. Not bad by any stretch. Just a little slow. The second episode, I wasn't really hooked yet. The third episode is where I started to really get more interested in it. I like it. I like it a lot. I don't love it, but okay. I like it a lot. The good news for me personally is each episode has been getting better. So if it continues that trend, I will have loved it by the end.
Okay.
But yeah, it's good. It's well written. The acting is good. Julia Garner from Ozark, a multi Emmy award winning actress, plays the lead. And her accent just, it was like nails on chalkboard to me.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's purposely done that way. I don't know if that's the way the real character talked, but.
Right. So this isn't a spoiler, but you find out later, like by maybe the third episode or so, that the character was originally born near Moscow. I say it's not a spoiler because at this point in the story, it doesn't really matter a whole lot.
No.
And I don't think, like, so from what I've watched so far, it doesn't end up meaning anything. So not a spoiler. But so she's from Germany, but she was originally born in Moscow. So like maybe it's a kind of a blend of the two. I lived in Germany for a while and I've heard a lot of Germans speak English and none of them sounded anywhere near this. Like it took me a long time to figure out what country they were trying to say she was from, because I didn't read up on any of the background stuff for it.
Okay.
So yeah, I had such a hard time and you know, maybe I don't think a lot of people had this issue. It might just be my autism or something, but like I kind of hooked on that and I had a really hard time getting past it. That being said, the acting is phenomenal. And while I don't get the accent, like the accent doesn't,
yeah, I didn't get that work, either. It seemed,
but she does stick with it. She's consistent with that accent. So she performs whatever that's supposed to be. She performs that well. I don't even think it's a real accent.
I seem to think it was maybe an accent of the country she was supposed to be from, i.e. Germany, mixed with the accent of a, I don't know, young socialite that has no concept of the real world and a little aloof and this and that, kind of all mixed in. So that to me, it spoke to me that way, that that's what it meant, but it was still hard to listen to.
It was for me, I think that bugged me probably more than it'll bug most people. But so that aside, it's a good show. Writing is good. The casting was phenomenal. I forget who the other lead actress is, but she was in Veep. on HBO.
Yep. It's good to the point where now that I've seen it, I kind of want to dig into the real story and kind of get more information about what really took place.
Okay. And I'm definitely curious as to where all this is going and where it ended up for real. So like the hook was effective.
Mm.
So I'm happy with that. So the point is I would recommend it. Okay. It's got a strong recommendation for me, even though I think I would recommend it more strongly than I personally am enjoying it, because I believe it's a little better. Like I realize I've got this little mental glitch that's hooking me on this one thing that I'm having a hard time getting past, but I know that it's just me.
Yeah. And we're going to give this more thorough talk through on Media Chatter too. So,
yep. Which by the way, again, as you said, Movie Chatter, we're going to Media Chatter. So we're going to be covering TV series in addition to movies.
Right.
Maybe later, even other types of media. We don't know yet. But for right now, we're doing movies and shows.
Exactly. Yeah. Next up, another series on another streaming service. This is Severance on Apple TV Plus.
My gosh. I just watched that again today.
I think there's three episodes out now, three or four. It's just three. It's released weekly on Fridays, which is my preferred way to have series released on streaming, because I get to watch them weekly and I have to binge everything all at once and try to keep up. But that being said,
I would agree.
This is I don't know how to explain it. I think I explained it to somebody once as it's kind of very feeling like being John Malkovich, as far as the way
you did say that. That was to me. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm three episodes in and I still really don't know what's going on, but I like where it's taking me.
I like it better than being John Malkovich, because John Malkovich was just weird in a confusing way. And this is weird in a more understandable way. John Malkovich, by the way, is also going to be talked about in this episode today.
Okay.
Have you watched it, Tim?
I have not.
Okay. So it's on Apple TV Plus. It's as soon as I found out before it was released that it was being directed by, and I think in part written by, Ben Stiller, I'm like, okay, yep, probably not going to watch it. Ben Stiller for me is very, very hit or miss. There's some things he's done I've loved, and most of the things he's done I have not loved.
I agree.
This, I'm convinced it might be a typo.
See, it for me, a director and also an executive producer, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I was intrigued because I don't dislike him. You're right, he's got some hit and misses of what he's done. But I'm like, this doesn't seem like anything he'd be involved with.
I want to say this, too. And I mean this as a compliment to him. I still feel emotionally like this show is so far beyond his capability.
Hmm.
Like, he's not this good.
Yeah,
and yet he clearly is, because he did right. This show.
It seems so far outside of his wheelhouse that I was like, right. No way. There's no way this could be him.
And it's executed well. It's got that almost, I don't want to say post-apocalyptic factor, but it's got that creepy factor in there.
Mm.
It's not at all like a horror show, but there's that creepy psychological factor in there that's just really deep, and it's got this dark layer underneath it that is like really disturbing in a good way.
So the premise of the show, we should probably talk about that, because it's such a weird concept. The premise of the show, in fact, the tagline I think is, "You're always somebody different at work." And the way this works is the severance procedure is a medical procedure, I guess, with this implant in your brain that's non-reversible, that when you go to work, you are a person that knows only about what's going on at work and you don't know anything about the outside world. And when you leave work, you leave that part of your brain memory at work, and you have now your regular life.
Oh, okay. I've seen the ads for this. All right.
Yeah. And so while you're at work, you don't know if you're married. You don't know if you have kids. Right. You don't know what your hobbies are.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's for dinner.
You don't even know if you ate. You don't. So one of the characters brings up, like, you don't remember sleep. So you tried, because you leave, and like all of a sudden to you minutes later,
yeah,
it's the next thing. It's like, what do you mean? There was a weekend there. Yeah, I was here 5 minutes ago.
That's like, what
try
got
to
me,
focus on the effects of the sleep, not on the sleep itself.
Right. At first, I'm thinking, about, okay, it's you remember at work, you remember at home, whatever. But then I'm thinking to myself, okay, you watch it in a show and you're like, oh my God, these people at work, their memories of work are, that's it.
100% of their existence.
Yeah, they don't remember anything, even, you know, not sleep, not eating, not driving home. It's like
the sleep thing threw me because I've like, I've studied the physiological effects of sleep and the psychological effects of sleep, and like to not experience REM sleep like that would be considered like a fatally catastrophic event.
Yeah, so I don't know how
physiologically they're getting it because their body's getting it.
Yeah,
but the psyche isn't. Yeah, like so, there's so a lot of
your
40-hour
a week work is all you know, and you go from one day to the next day to the Monday, from Friday to Monday, without even experiencing a weekend. You never leave work. You're never off.
But it's also literally all you know, so it doesn't even like. Does it bother them? Like they know there's supposed to be something outside of work, but they don't really know what it is. So that's another thing too, is the change in how these people behave as humans so far has been interesting too. But then outside of work, there's some other goings on. Like there's a conspiracy level to the overall story here too. Like something doesn't add up. There's some nefarious things going on. There's a mystery.
The company and something and stuff without outside the company, because now severance is looked at. You know, there's government involvement and is this legal?
Protesters.
Can we ban this here? Yeah. There's a lot going on, and I am fully entrenched in wanting to know what's going on in the story, and I still have no idea where the ride's taking us.
And the presentation of it is so good too. We're so covering this on Media Chatter at some point.
Oh, definitely.
The presentation of it is. So not only does it have, again, great casting. So who is it? Adam Scott, is it? From Parks and Rec?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so he's the lead. It's got, who's the older guy?
Oh,
I never remember his name.
John something? Christopher Walken, right?
Oh, yeah. No, he's in it too.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that until he popped up on the screen, and I'm like, oh. No, the older guy that sits in the cubicles with them.
Oh,
he's in Transformers, like the secret agency guy. He's in a lot of comedic stuff.
John Turturro.
Turturro?
Yep.
John Turturro. He's in it. And it's so that's the other thing. The story's good, the actors are good, but the presentation of this too, the writing is phenomenal. But they sit in this great big huge massive room, and there's four desks, like all just crunched in the middle of the room. And they're using like these 1970s computer monochrome computer monitors for the work that they're doing
with the scary numbers,
which doesn't even really get explained until the third episode. And then after the explanation, you're like, well, thank goodness they finally explained it, but now I'm even more confused.
Well, they explained it, but they didn't really explain it. I mean,
they're being messed with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be what's going on. But that's the thing. Like, there's so much you can talk about with this show. This show is very much a water cooler post game sort of show. I'm loving it. I kudos to Apple TV Plus. There's a lot of shows on there that I have zero interest in, and then somebody convinces me to watch them and they're phenomenal. Don't have a lot of stuff, but what they have is really good. So yeah, Severance, Apple TV Plus. Other than Mythic Quest, probably my favorite Apple TV Plus show. Ever, and it's one of the best shows that's currently running right now.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing more. Next up is a series that I thought was a movie. So I clearly have not seen this yet, but Pam and Tommy. This is the Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee story. I guess revolving around the video that got released of their sexcapades, I'll say. So you've seen this, Erica, all of it, or is
yes?
It...
Well, it's also being released week by week.
Oh, it is, okay,
on Hulu. Yep. I'm guessing I'm the only person who's seen it. It's
I
a
have not.
Travesty that Lily James has been turned into cringeworthy Pamela Anderson, but it says a lot about her acting ability because she looks and acts and vocally sounds exactly like Pamela Anderson.
Really? Okay.
Sebastian Stan, Winter Soldier.
When I saw that, I was like, really? Yeah. He's playing Tommy Lee? That's incredible.
And does a phenomenal job of it. Like, so it's very much, it's an R-rated series. But it's not at all goofy. And there are some goofy and silly moments. One that in particular people have probably heard about earlier on in the series. But really the series takes itself seriously. And it talks a lot about, so the first few episodes are about Seth Rogen, who's the guy that gets the tape. He was hired to do a bunch of modifications along with a couple of other contractors to Tommy and Pam's home. And then Tommy Lee refused to pay him. And so he's paying for his, like, the lumber and the all of the equipment stuff out of pocket. And he's like, you know, I'm taking out credit card payments and this and that and stuff. I can't even pay for the stuff to continue doing the work. And you haven't paid us anything yet. So he goes in and basically steals his Tommy Lee's safe and says, hey, whatever's in here, this is mine. And found the tape. So it kind of goes through the victimization of that person. And then it goes through the romance and the relationship with Tommy and Pamela and how that started up. And then it goes into the victimization of Tommy and Pamela through the release of the tape, but more so Pamela. And it's pointed out in very appropriate and well thought out ways, you know, hey, this isn't hurting Tommy. Tommy Lee looks like a stud. Pamela Anderson looks like a prostitute through this and her appearance in Playboy from years earlier and all of this. And so when they're trying to sue Penthouse, who then released photos from the tape, the lawyers and stuff start directly targeting and attacking Pamela. And it really gets into kind of the way someone in that scenario gets treated. And it does it in a very, what's the word, insightful way. I'm trying to think of a better way to describe it. But the point is, the series takes itself very seriously. It's well produced. It's well written. The acting is incredible. It's incredible. It's a top notch series. The craftsmanship of it in every way, production, writing, directing, casting, everything is top notch. I have zero complaints about it, other than maybe like early on the pacing a little bit. Well, and there was the one scene with Tommy Lee in the mirror that could have done without. He's having a discussion with himself about whether he's actually in love with Pamela and should propose to her. And by himself, I don't mean he's talking to his face in the mirror. So that scene aside,
oh, Motley Crue.
That scene aside, it's a phenomenal show. Like, it's absolutely A-list. Like, I thought it was going to be silly and stupid and had no interest in it, and it's very high quality.
And this is on Hulu, you said?
It's on Hulu.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Something to keep on the radar.
Yep.
Next up, another crossover from our media chatter show, Reacher, which is this is
Tim, you've seen this one, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
This is on Prime or on Netflix?
Prime.
We talked about it on Media Chatter. Phenomenal show. I couldn't watch this fast enough to get through this and see everything. And this was the show that really made me reconsider the whole short season of a show, like 8 episodes long, and think, I really want 22 episodes. But I'm thinking about myself,
they crammed a lot into this.
Yeah, but if it was a movie, they could have done a 2-hour movie and you would have got a good action movie. But you wouldn't have gotten the detail of the characters and the story that you got out of this eight or nine episodes of content they gave us that was phenomenal.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
And I said this on Media Chatter. I think it ended kind of abruptly. I think the last 2 episodes weren't as good as the first 6. But I really enjoyed it. What did you guys think of it? I mean, Tim, we haven't heard from you. So, Tim, what was your thoughts on Reacher?
I mean, pretty much the same thing. I love the cast. I thought the cast was great. The story that they told was fantastic. It was really well done. It was very compelling. I love the fact that we, you know, had this, you know, by appearance, big muscle bound dude, which, you know, stereotypically would be like, oh, okay, so he's the muscle, he's dumb. But no, the dude was like super smart and, you know, could think his way through things and, you know, could also just absolutely kick ass in a fight up until the last episode. And just, you know, but I mean, it was really great. It was good. I loved what they gave us with it, and I'm looking forward to the second season, which they already announced.
Yeah, and there's plenty of content. We talk about this on Media Chatter as well, too. It's based on the series of books by Lee Child. And I think we said, was there 28 novels?
26 books.
Something like that. Yeah, it's like, okay, so they have plenty of seasons they can do for this. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to more of that. If you guys want more detail on the show, I'd you know, say go over to Media Chatter and listen to us talk about there for an hour and 10 minutes or whatever we did.
Yeah, definitely very high recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. Okay, Murderville. This is one that's new to me, so who's going to tell me about Murderville?
Unless Tim saw it, I'll talk about it. I think Tim would like it. Okay.
But by the way, the last few weeks, the vast majority of my viewing was Winter Olympics. So,
and you've also been busy with work a little bit over the last
couple
of weeks,
of work stuff. I had a work trip. I had some other stuff. But I mean, Winter Olympics was the vast majority of the stuff that I watched. I'm a big Winter Olympics fan, especially hockey and some curling and skiing and some other things.
I would highly recommend that to viewers as well.
Except it's over.
Except,
yeah. But you know, hey, in four more years, we'll have another Winter Olympics.
Yeah. Hey, there's internet recaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Summer Olympics, I'm not a huge fan of, but Winter Olympics, I'm a big winter sports person.
Skiing and hockey. Yeah. And I'm surprised that I actually like watching curling. Like, that's actually my favorite winter sport.
I do like watching it. The strategy is amazing. Nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the execution of it and stuff, it's like...
Yeah. lot of people make fun of it, but I think it's because they haven't actually, like... watched it and learned it, and like, because once you learn it, you're like, oh gosh, that's what they're trying to do. They're not just throwing these stones down the ice and knocking other ones out of the way like marbles. No, like, there's a reason why you're doing it, and there's a specific way that it's scored and all that. So
when you get to the later matches where you got the medal matches and stuff, where the best teams have now come to the end, you're watching, you're like, there's no way they go, oh my god. It's like, how they do that. It's like, wow, okay, these guys are really good.
Have you heard of the musical artist Jonathan Colton?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of an internet sensation. Look for a song of his called Curl.
Okay.
It's a rock song about curling.
No.
All right.
It's cute.
Cool.
Okay. Come on, baby, put the rock in the house. You know, because that's what they call the things are the rocks, and the house is the thing at the end. And, yeah.
So anyway, Murderville.
Yes. So this is on Netflix, and it stars Will Arnett, who I'm hoping everybody here knows. And he plays a police detective whose partner died, like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. Like, her desk is covered with cobwebs, and like, he left everything exactly the way it was and all that. He was married, I think still is married, but separated from the police chief. And every episode she brings him a new partner to test out. Of course, he doesn't want a partner. And there's a new murder every week, and they investigate the murder. But the problem is, the new partner they bring in doesn't have a script. So, first episode is Conan O'Brien. And he's the one who doesn't have a script, and they have to get through, and he has to solve the murder and do all of these wacky things, and, you know, goes in and talks to there's one scene, I think
I have to watch this. especially if it has Conan O'Brien in it. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I should pull it up here and find out exactly. Give me like just a couple of seconds.
You know, the interesting thing about what you're talking about, Eric, this sounds so, I mean, when we were doing improv in person, we would do a scripted unscripted thing where, you know, somebody has a script and you're trying to improv off what they're reading from lines in the play. You're like, okay.
Yep.
So the guests, Conan O'Brien, Ken Jeong.
Oh, wow.
And it's great when they have to like go in and talk to the crime boss and they've got the earpiece and then like they have to answer questions that the mob boss. Do you say you were from Philly? Where's that restaurant that was up on such and such a street? And then like Will Arnett's giving him answers. So he has to say stuff back that like in a straight face without cracking up. And it's
sure. Yeah.
Or when they're dealing with the corpse whose face is like face down in a bowl of soup, they keep, you know, lift his face up again, lift his face up again. And of course the corpse guy's trying to not like break character.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Ken Jeong, Conan O'Brien, Sharon Stone.
Interesting. She's actually very funny. Like a lot of people don't realize that Sharon Stone is freaking funny because of the dramatic role she's been in, but she's really funny.
She had really good comedic timing without ever coming across as overtly funny.
Yes. Yeah. Which is generally the kind of comedy that I like. Right. And I know, like, I love Conan O'Brien. He's completely the opposite end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
But I do tend to like a little more like grounded, drier humor a lot of times. And yeah, her brand of comedy
and
is right
this
there.
Has got a good mix. I mean, you've got the wit of people like Conan O'Brien and Ken Jeong. You've got the straight wit of Sharon Stone. And to some extent, Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek. Mm-hmm. But she's also a little more playful and a little more kind of like back and forth with the interactions and stuff. Then you have people who are completely lost, like Marshawn Lynch.
Really?
Oh my God.
That's wild.
Yeah. And he's like, if you ever watch Clueless Gamer, get on YouTube and look for Clueless Gamer with Conan O'Brien.
Okay.
And it's Conan O'Brien, who knows nothing about video games, sitting down and playing console video games and always has a guest host. And there's an episode with Marshawn Lynch and some other football players and stuff. It's really good. And then Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's in an episode. It's really good. They're just little half-hour episodes, and it's light and fluffy and silly and stuff. But if you have any appreciation for especially for improv comedy and how tricky that can be.
It sounds fun.
It is fun. It was stupid, like just stupid comedy, but it was fun. I think you'd like it. So I would highly recommend Murderville again on Netflix. And it's like, I don't know, 8 episodes maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, another Apple TV Plus show that I want to start watching, Suspicion. Seen the trailer. It looks really good. This is done by the same people that brought us Homeland, I believe.
I thought you had watched it.
No.
I feel like there's a lot of stuff on this list that I've seen that you guys haven't.
I started watching the first episode, but I haven't gotten very far in because I knew I wanted to watch it. I really enjoyed the Homeland series, which is done by the same people as this, and it looks really good. The premise is an abduction in the beginning, first episode, where there's 4 people that are suspected of being involved in this abduction, and they're all British, I guess, right? They're in New York at the same time, and that's as far as the trailer leads you to believe, so I don't know how in-depth that gets, but it looks really good.
Yeah, so the person who was abducted was the son of Uma Thurman's character, who plays some, like, I don't know, Steve Jobs level corporate person. And I wasn't going to watch it. And then there were people complaining online about what a travesty it was that Uma Thurman is hardly in the series at all. And I'm like, sold. I'm there. All right. Literally, that was what, oh, okay, well, she's not actually going to be in it, then yeah, I'm going to watch it. It's good. It's deep, like the very few episodes of Homeland I've watched, which I liked. I just haven't gone back to it and need to someday. It's a slow burn, but it's very much kind of got that espionage feel to it, but with civilians, and you don't really know who's guilty, who's innocent, who's maybe guilty of something but not guilty of everything, or are they guilty of more? So it's a plot-heavy series, a lot of plot complexity, not the kind of thing you ever want to watch in the background. If you put this on one time as background noise, as you're doing other things or multitasking, you're either going to stop watching the series or you're going to have to watch that episode again. Right. And the problem is the plot is deep and requires some focus, but it also, it's not like hanging on the edge of your seat cliffhanger sort of thing either. So if it's your type of show, it's done really well. And it's got Elizabeth Henstridge, is it?
Mm-hmm.
From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
S.H.I.E.L.D., yep.
Yeah. And I like her. She's good. I don't recognize a lot of the other... there are some actors and actresses I recognize. She's the one name that I remember. It's good, though. I'd recommend it, but you've got to be into espionage-type shows. And if you are, you'll love it. If you're not or you don't have the patience for it, you're not going to stick with it.
Okay.
Not because the show's bad, but because the format just might not be your thing.
Okay. Another one here. Now, this is something I've watched recently that I think you mentioned a few weeks back, Eric, Archive 81.
I think you finished it, right?
I did.
I have not. I'm still maybe halfway through. No.
Oh, good. Oh my God. No. You should watch it. I mean, this got me riveted to watch it. And I, you know, the first episode or so, I'm like, okay, this is intriguing. But by the third or fourth, I was really hooked and really wanted to see where this was going. It's got a supernatural feel to it. So there's a mystery going on. There's not really time travel, but there's some of that kind of time jump thing
going
on. There's
some flashbacky sort of things going on that get kind of complicated.
The only thing, it kind of took me out of it maybe about halfway through the series. Because the premise is the main character is a video restorer that works in a museum of videotape history type thing. And he's watching this story that plays through these videos he's been restoring. And halfway through, I'm watching, like, okay, these aren't just him watching. It's like you're not watching him watching the videotapes. Now it's like you're watching stuff that's not really on videotape. And I'm like, okay, so it kind of breaks the thing of he's learning everything about this other character based on the video she was shooting, because now it's like you're not watching video she shot. You're watching stuff that was filmed like she was there.
You're also watching the in-between moments where she's not filming.
So it kind of breaks.
But does
it there.
He know all of the things from those moments, though?
I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know.
Yeah,
It felt like it was supposed to be a found footage type movie, and then they did more with it. Which,
I mean, I'm kind of glad they didn't, because I think it works better not. Right.
It works really well, but footage. For some reason, halfway through the series, my mind stopped and went, "Wait a minute, this is stuff that he shouldn't be knowing and seeing." That we're
and
watching.
See, I didn't even think about that until you just.
And now,
so
now
that,
you will.
And
so
now
I
it's
going it to. Yeah, I'm sorry. But it took me out for like a half an episode. I'm like, just forget it. I'll just watch it, and it was really good still. So
yeah,
It's not horror really. It's more of a cerebral horror, but
yeah, psychological horror.
Some scary stuff going on, and I was really happy with it. The ending wasn't as satisfying as I wanted it to be, but I think overall it was still worth seeing to the end.
That seems to be a running theme. That Reacher, to some extent, Book of Boba Fett, though I would say that ended better than some of those others. And then another thing I'm going to talk about here in a few minutes.
Well, the endings, to me, they haven't been horrible. They just didn't finish in the same high note that they started on. You know, it's like, it's not like the show disappointed me, but the production quality was so good in some of these things where it was well written and well acted and well performed. You get to the very end, and it's like they got lazy in the writing and didn't really kind of give us everything it should have been.
Well, I think they're better at coming up with concepts now, and then they don't know where to go with the concepts.
Maybe. So
you have to have the good concept up first to get people to start watching.
So,
and then when you hook them, you don't know where to take them.
There you go.
When you have a really good ending but not a good beginning, nobody watches.
Right. So, Tim, you got to watch Archive 81. I think you should.
It sounds really compelling. I mean, I like psychological thriller stuff. So, yeah.
I think, like, I'm not into supernatural stuff at all. And I still liked this. And I know you have, you're a little more favorable to that genre than I am.
Yeah, so. I can be. Yeah. If it's done properly, I can be.
And I would say this is.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. For the most part, yeah. Okay, I know nothing about this next one. Cat Burglar.
I'll be brief. Netflix has done some choose your own adventure stuff.
Okay.
Bandersnatch from the Black Mirror series. Phenomenal. And then they've done some kid stuff like Puss in Boots from the Shrek movies. A couple of other things. This is kind of a throwback to like the old Hanna-Barbera, Looney Tunes kind of slapsticky cartoon characters. So you have a cat, it's called Cat Burglar, and you have a cat who's a cat burglar who is trying to break into a museum to steal this priceless painting. There's a single security guard played by a short dog. Kind of reminds me of Droopy a little bit, but not personality-wise.
Stereotyping in this is really bothering me. I mean, not all cat burglars are cats.
No,
I just...
But I think it's good because the cat's probably the smart one and the dog's probably the so-so one, right?
You would think so. No. Until you get the cat killed.
Oh.
So... It's not so much a choose your own adventure as much as it is there's an action scene, and during the action scene you have a timer and you have to guess three trivia questions, and so they will put up like a category sort of thing, like types of cheeses, and they'll put two things up on the screen and you have to move left or right to the one that's a type of cheese. There's a ton of different categories. I never got the same group of questions again, but there are maybe five or six sequences through the story where you have to do this. And then if you succeed and get the painting at the end, in the final scene, you'll notice that when it's put up on the wall at the museum that the cat burglar then sells it to, there are spots for other pictures. So you can go through and play again. Each of the different segments.
But what do cheeses have to do with the action scenes?
That's an example of one of the trivia questions. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of some examples of some of the other ones. Some of them were corny and some were, I don't know. Each of these different segments where he's like got to scale over the wall to get in, or he's got to disable the security cameras to then enter into the building, or then he's got to get through like the ancient history section of the museum all the way up to the very end where the painting is. There are multiple takes for each of these. So there's like six or seven different versions of the confrontation in the ancient history area. Five or six different versions where he has to sneak into the security hut to cut the camera feeds. So as you go through, there's a lot of replayability. Most of the questions are really, really simple, and like a lot of them, a reasonably intelligent 8-year-old could probably get through this. Then you get some, like one of them was weapons a ninja would use, and you had nunchucks or upchucks.
Okay.
I'm like, well, ninjas don't really use nunchucks either, but okay, it's the nunchucks. And then there's another one that is equally as stupid and idiotic, and then it gets to the third one and it gives me two words I've never heard. I've watched a lot of ninja movies. I've had a lot of G.I. Joe action figures. I've been around ninjas since the peak of their popularity in the 80s. I have a lot of friends who actually do real martial arts, not ninjutsu, but like I'm more than a passing familiarity with this. I've never seen these two words before. So you get these questions that are ridiculously easy, and then you get one that's like impossibly impossible. So it was weird. And then, so it looks like it's maybe designed for kids, but then you get like types of clickbait. And you'll get a couple of different options. And then one of them is like nude pictures. And I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. I don't want my, you know, young preteen kid trying to figure out whether that's good clickbait or not. So like, maybe that's not a good one. One of the questions was good school field trips. And one was like a pencil factory or the morgue. And as I'm going to hit the button for the morgue, I'm like, wait a minute. They probably want it to be pencil factory.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of relative. I mean,
you're right. And one of them was like, I don't know, the beach or Mars. And I'm like, well, hell yeah, Mars.
Mars. Yeah. Right. Let's go to Mars.
Right. Some of the scenes where, you know, their dog gets decapitated several times. Vultures are picking at the decapitated corpse in one scene. Like, there are moments where, and it's still in that old style of animation. There's not like blood necessarily, but there's some violence there that I don't think is necessarily good for kids either. So 95% of the questions are pretty much designed for kids. And yet there's content in here that's definitely not for kids. So I don't even know like who to recommend this to, but I wanted to bring it up. So people, if you've got kids and you think this is for your kids, play through it a few times first yourself. Just a little public service announcement there.
Which is probably good advice for almost anything you want your kids to watch, really. When you come
and yet, Lou, how many parents do you think actually take that advice?
Not many, probably.
Not many.
I mean, remember, I have cats, no. So I'm held harmless here, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice, but
and you know, it's funny you mentioned that. In I don't look at things the same way that a parent would, obviously, because I don't have kids. But I'll watch a show like Reacher, and you know, along with whatever episode it was, all of a sudden it was that you know, one of the characters takes her top off. I'm like, oh, yeah, episode okay, three. This is streaming. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay.
I mean, 27 minutes, 14 seconds.
It didn't bother me. It's not like I'm going, oh my God, no, I'm not going to watch that. I'm like, ooh, okay. But I'm like, I totally didn't expect that. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this isn't
right. Yeah, I didn't expect it either. I'm like, wow, that was, she just walked right in there.
Pleasantly surprised, yeah. But it was like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, in today's world, it's like, it's not network, so it's there. Yeah. But, you know,
Friday, is it this coming Friday or did it already come out this weekend? The new Batman movie.
This coming.
Good question.
Okay. Yeah. So it's coming out this coming weekend.
Yeah.
And based on some of the scenes in the trailer, like I think it's rated PG-13, I think.
But I think it's also pushing the boundaries of PG-13.
Yeah. Like, so
it looks pretty hardcore.
If it weren't the pandemic, my son would be wanting to see it opening night. But I need to go see it before, and you know, his mom as well needs to go see it before he does. And yet it's PG-13 and weeks away from turning 13. So he's like, well, I've seen other PG-13 stuff. I've seen the Marvel movies and saw Star Wars Episode III. This is okay, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, PG-13, none of those things mean what they meant 20 years ago.
No.
No.
I mean,
and the thing is, it depends why they hold those categories. I mean, there's all these different criteria and, you know, for one movie, it could be A, but for another movie, it could be B. And depending on the maturity of your kids and what they're exposed to and what they're not exposed to, A might be fine, but B really might not be acceptable.
Right.
Well, and so violence and stuff.
And there is also that range. I mean, something can be PG-13, but barely make that out of PG because it had one little instance of something.
Right.
Yeah. Another movie can be PG-13. And be pushing the upper boundaries because it basically does everything.
Yeah, it's like one thing away from being R, but it's there, you know?
Right, well, yeah.
My concern with Batman is the trailers. There's this one scene where Batman's just punching the crap out of somebody. So in an R-rated movie, you know, this isn't R, there's no blood.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right.
But you're looking at the trailer and, like, he's punching this guy a few times and the guy's gone limp. And then he kind of like looks up at the other bad guys and he just continues wailing on this guy. And I'm like, whoa, hey, you're supposed to be the good guy here. You're the hero that the kids are supposed to look up to. And like the dude's pretty much unconscious and you're sitting there just pummeling him still.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do I want my son watching that? And that's just from the trailer. So, and I mean, I tend to be a little more liberal than most when it comes to that kind of thing. But yeah, so when you have kids, it is a little tricky, and you do have to watch everything in advance. And I get why some people don't, because they feel like they can't because there's too much. But hey, yep. You've right. got kids at your job. Do it.
Yeah. But to me, I find it interesting that, and I'd love to see if somebody's done a paper on this somewhere. I'm sure that somebody has done a white paper or something. But, you know, what has changed for what was acceptable to be rated PG or PG-13 or R back 20 years ago versus now?
What was
now?
The evolution
because
of that?
Because there's stuff on TV now that we wouldn't have seen in a PG-13 movie 20 years ago.
Oh, no.
It's like,
do you remember when they wanted to give, so Eddie Murphy, a comedian very popular in the 80s and 90s, did a stand-up special, and they released the stand-ups. He was so popular, they released a stand-up special in theaters. Mm-hmm. It was called Eddie Murphy Raw.
Raw, yep.
And they wanted to give it an X rating. And they wanted to give it an X rating because he dropped the F-bomb twice during the entire stand-up skit.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we get TV episodes where they drop it like four times in 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, you know, even down to the point where it's like, you know, there was TV shows on when I was a kid that, you know, the married couple slept in separate beds because they really weren't married on TV show. And now it's like, you know, then you forward 20, 30 years later, there's, you know, teenagers having sex on TV shows, not showing it, but, you know, implying that they were. I'm like, okay, that's a totally different thing.
Wasn't so. Leave It to Beaver the first series where they had a married couple like in a bed together? Or am I thinking of something?
I don't know.
Leave It to Beaver did the first, maybe it was the first one that showed a bathroom with a toilet in it. There was some like
it's wild.
Really racy thing that they did that like nobody else had done before.
But like you mentioned Lucy, you know, I Love Lucy show, they had separate beds. You know?
Yeah.
But,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
And but that's
why they didn't have kids, Lou.
That's right.
Let me explain to you how that works.
Well, there was the dirtiest words ever said on television in Leave It to Beaver, but we're not going to talk about that in the show because it's not rated for that. Mm. Anyway, yeah.
we just got last week, they gave us what the TV rating is going to be for the Moon Knight series over on Disney Plus. Mm. And there's been a lot of talk with this thing's going to be darker. It's going to be more brutal. It's going to be more violent. There's going to be a lot more intensity in it, which we've certainly got a sense from in the trailers that we've gotten. But then there's also this, but it's on Disney Plus. How exactly are they going to like do this? How far are they going to push this envelope on Disney Plus? So it actually still falls within the TV-14 rating, which is basically a PG-13 equivalent to movies.
Yeah.
For streaming services. All the other Marvel shows were also TV-14. The presumption is they kind of skewed a little bit lighter within TV-14, and that Moon Knight is going to skew much more pushing the boundaries toward TVMA, which we haven't seen Disney Plus do yet. But, you know, I mean, there seems to be a lot of desire for Disney to center their stuff on Disney Plus. They have Hulu right now as this repository for stuff that they don't want on Disney Plus. I'm thinking like, I mean, at some point, eventually, I would just like to see Disney Plus do a portal, you know, where parents have to put in a passcode or something in order to access the stuff, to keep it all on one streaming service, which is what they do in other countries.
Kids never figure out how to enter a passcode. Parents use
I understand that.
I'm with you.
It basically becomes beside the point. I mean, it's okay. Hey, the service is doing what they can, and then it's up to the parents to actually.
It's at least a deterrent. It's a hurdle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
We're running long.
Yeah. A couple of things real quick. Yeah. The Peacemaker finale was really, really good. We talked about finales that were not good and were disappointing. The Peacemaker one was good. Have you guys seen? Still haven't watched that, have you?
I haven't watched any of that yet, no.
You guys, like, for real, I would only keep bringing it up because it's that good. Okay. And I'm with you on the John Cena thing, I promise.
Oh, you're not with me enough on the John Cena thing.
I'm closer than you think. But this show,
and I also didn't really like Suicide Squad movie, so it was good, but it wasn't like I'm not gonna ever watch it again. So
it's still not like the Suicide Squad movie,
but the character's there, and I'm like, eh,
the character's there. Yeah,
didn't care from there either. But anyways, yeah.
But nobody likes the character in the show either. So
okay.
The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window. Did you guys ever watch or finish that?
Haven't finished it yet, but
Wolf
and I are watching it. Okay. We're going to continue it. Yep.
I've heard it.
I will just say I was disappointed in the finale.
No. Thanks.
Like, sorry. I mentioned that there was one more show in this episode where the finale I thought kind of sucked. I felt like they changed gears in the finale, and I was like, I was very disappointed. We'll put it that way. Space Force season 2.
Nope.
John Malkovich.
Yeah, I want to see it, but I haven't.
Yeah, it's good. That's all I got. I've got a bunch of other little things, but yeah, running long.
Okay. One last thing quickly, not TV or movie related. I started playing Horizon Forbidden West. Like it. New exclusive title for the PS4 and 5.
Is that the sequel to, what is it, Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I played that one.
Yep.
That was amazing.
It's really good. The graphics are amazing. It feels, the mechanics feel a lot like one of the Star Wars ones. What was that recently? Doing with Cal Sestis.
Jedi Fallen Order?
Yeah. A lot of the same gameplay mechanics, but it's good. I really enjoy it. I'm playing through it now. It's good.
The first one was amazing.
Glad I picked
it
up.
One of the best games to have come out in recent history. Yeah, I mean, even sight unseen with the sequel, that would be an automatic recommendation in my eyes to anybody with a console.
Yeah.
Well, glad you're enjoying it. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
Awesome.
And that's about it for today. So, Eric, take us home.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. Tune in next week, same bat time, same bat channel, at approximately 8 p.m. Eastern, we will be doing another episode of Force Chatter. We'll probably be talking about Kenobi. You know, there's one other thing Star Wars related I was trying to think of that I knew that we needed to cover coming up, and then I had lost what it was. But we do have some things that we're going to be discussing through the spring as we get forward into Celebration and the release of Kenobi. So check that out next Sunday night. We are also going to be bringing back our news show. Still have to talk about bringing back Trailer Breakdown too. Our news show is going to be coming back soon as well, though possibly in a little bit different format. And then also in another different format, Media Chatter, Tuesday nights. We mentioned that earlier, discussing TV shows now as well. We already discussed Reacher, which we mentioned this episode, and next up is Inventing Anna. I think kind of want to do Severance after that, but I think it's going to be a little while yet before that finishes. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still going strong every Tuesday night at about 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And be sure to go to randomchatter.com/Discord. Join our Discord server, hang out with us there. And if you're not watching this on YouTube, head over to youtube.com/randomchatter. Hit the subscribe and like buttons and leave your comments in the fields below here and let us know what you think of the stuff we covered today. Or if there's stuff that you've watched, do you think that we should cover? We would like to know. We're always looking for new stuff to watch. So that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. We will see you again in a week. Until then, take care.